You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hello, candid canny candidates who consume cannolis, candy, and canapes under candescent candelabras. Welcome to Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 192, and of course, I'm your humble host, Karen, and we are your squishy, squeezable squad, squirreling away squiggles.
Ooh, that was good.
I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
And I'm Chris.
Squiggles are square bagels.
Squiggles. Oh,
yeah, squiggles. FYI. Some exciting news.
Our book is out.
Yes!
It is out. Yes. In the wild. It's escaped its containment facility.
You can buy it.
I can't believe we actually did it. I'm so proud of ourselves.
It's incredible.
That was hard work.
It feels good in the hand. It looks good on the shelf.
Smells good. Smells good. Very important.
Feels good to the brain.
It tastes just okay.
Oh, yeah.
It tastes just all right.
Very fibrous.
Yeah.
You gotta dip it in some ranch.
I'm excited. And I hope that any listeners who have already pre-ordered or picked up the book, I hope you guys are loving it. I hope you're digging it and having a lot of fun with it.
A lot of people ask me, like friends and stuff, they're like, oh, can you sign my book? And then I was like, sure. But then I have no idea how to sign a book. I don't know what, like, do I just write my signature or I say, you know, thank you. And I drew some pictures, you know, like, do I draw a picture?
Yeah,
I don't know. It's like a yearbook, you know, like hags.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
I don't
have, yeah. Have a neat summer.
Sweet.
So I have no idea. So you know what? I'm just gonna have fun with the not knowing how to sign books.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just gonna keep drawing my stupid pictures and
I like it. You're kind of just doing like automatic writing. You're just winging it as you go. Yeah. Well, speaking of signing books, the other big news that we have is we're gonna be hosting a little get together, a live book signing, a party,
holiday
get together, holiday party, and you guys are all invited. It is free. It is going to be on December 3rd at noon at the Soma Street Food Park here in lovely San Francisco, California.
Where we play trivia.
Where we play trivia.
It's near the Costco if you need to go to Costco.
If you're familiar.
You can make a day of it.
Yeah. We're going to be in there's a big barn they have there. You cannot miss it. If you come to Soma Street Food Park at the right time, we will be there in the barn. Come on in. It is free and there will be some free beer.
Kids and pets welcome.
Kids and pets are welcome. We will be signing books. We'll be hanging out. We will have some books there to sell, I am assuming.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a blast.
Well, if you have a book, if you don't have a book, it doesn't matter. Bring your book or bring your money.
Bring someone else's book.
Right. Bring someone else's money.
Bring another book.
Yeah. We'll sign like a Neil deGrasse Tyson book if that's all you have.
Right.
Hags.
Yeah.
Karen.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, there's a little bit of news that I shared with Karen. I know at least Karen saw it and was excited.
This is good news.
Yale University, a university of some renown. You may have heard of it in your home state, Chris, of Connecticut. their mascot for their college sports teams, I mean, principally their football team, but is the Bulldogs. And in particular, they have a bulldog.
A live,
actual, physical, real, breathing bulldog named Handsome Dan.
Aww.
Handsome Dan. It's very cute. Yeah. He's ugly cute. He's ugly because he's a bulldog. This isn't the first Handsome Dan in the news recently. In the news recently is the 18th Handsome Dan.
Yes.
Going back to a good number of years. So, sadly, I believe Handsome Dan 17 passed away in August, I think, not too long ago.
Okay.
And so, you know, they don't want to have a power vacuum for too long. So, they really...
Then it went like Attractive Janice. They're like...
It's a chihuahua stages a palace coup,
The vice dog becomes...
Dog.
So there's a new Handsome Dan, and he is super cute.
Because he's a puppy.
Yeah.
He's a puppy. The important thing about this Handsome Dan is that it is a different breed.
Oh.
So this is a good trivia tidbit. So traditionally, the Yale Handsome Dan has been an English bulldog.
Okay.
This Handsome Dan is the first time they're going with another breed.
Oh.
And the official name of this breed is Old English Bulldog. Spelled in an old-timey way.
Oh, nice.
So it's old.
Like the malt liquor?
Old with an E Bulldog, B-U-L-L-D-O-G-G-E. Bulldoggy. Bulldog. Old English bulldog. Wow. Kind of a more of a current-ish breed, and it's basically a mix of English bulldog and American bulldog, and maybe a pit, and maybe Staffordshire. Like, it's a mix, a melange of bulldogs. And the reason why is because English bulldogs are not very athletic.
I don't, just to be clear, I don't think he plays on the football team. Okay.
There's nothing in the rules that says a dog.
It's like earbud. They have a shortish lifespan, and they have a bunch of health problems. And so this year they went with the oldie.
Okay.
Old English bulldog.
So they're
English
hoping bulldog. That maybe the reign of Handsome Dan the 18th might be a little longer. Maybe.
Yeah. And also just like on the statement of like bulldog health. Okay. And you know, instead of having like a squishy, cute kind of fat thing, they have a like a sprightly, more of a
lean.
Yeah. It has the same kind of bulldog face, but the body does look a little bit more athletic.
He's so cute. Yeah, I mean, the photo cute. I saw on the New Haven Register site, you know, they had him sitting next to a football helmet, and the helmet is bigger. It is like the same size as the dog. He's so little.
Well, I hope he likes football.
The big game for them is the Harvard-Yale football game, and unfortunately, the new Handsome Dan couldn't attend because he had to go to puppy school. So old English bulldoggy.
That is a good one. Yeah.
That's good.
Well, without any further ado, I think it's time to jump into our first general trivia segment, Pop Quiz Hot Shot.
Oh, you're taking away my job.
You handed me your job when you handed me this stack of Jeopardy questions from the year 2003. That's a long time ago.
That is actually a long time ago.
Yeah.
So these might be a little bit dated for you guys, but you know what? I think you can do it.
Could be older than some of our listeners.
That's right.
So here we go. The round, the title of the Jeopardy round. Now, of course, Jeopardy, television trivia game you may have heard of. We actually had a Good Job Brain listener on Team Jeopardy.
Jasmine.
Recently. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. She knows what Jeopardy is. The rest of you.
She's good at Jeopardy.
So I'm going to give you the topic for the five answers in this category. Then I will give you the answers, and you have to answer in the form of a question by ringing in with your barnyard buzzers. The topic of today is fashion backward. Backward.
It's like a wordplay.
Looking at historical fashion.
We like that. We like that kind of stuff.
All right, here we go.
Yeah, I like to say that I like that.
For $100. Many 1890s women wore bloomers called rationals while riding these two-wheelers.
What are bicycles?
Yes, what are bicycles?
Oh, okay. Don't overthink it.
That's a fancy word. Velocity.
Yeah, yeah.
Just your penny farthings.
What are penny farthings?
Those have three, don't they? No.
Two. One big one.
Okay.
In 1958, it's your $200 question. In 1958, you could have celebrated New Year's Eve. Now, Eve is in quotes, and it's spelled Y-V-E-S. You could have celebrated New Year's Eve in one of his trapeze dresses. Karen.
Who is Yves Saint Laurent?
It is Yves Saint Laurent. Yeah. Exactly. Yes.
That was a really easy question.
Yeah, it was in the name of whatever. Okay.
Anyway, $300. This short jacket with a Spanish name was once all the rage. Whoa, everybody, at the same time, I'm going to go with Karen again.
What is bolero?
What is a bolero jacket? Very good, very good.
Very 2000s.
I don't know, $450.
Okay.
In the 60s, people painted lashes on like this super thin supermodel. Dana.
Who is Twiggy?
Who is Twiggy?
Oh, yeah.
Also, for the for bonus money.
Oh, what's her real name?
For bonus money, it's in there.
Oh, man.
She was on
America's Next Top Model.
Her real name is Leslie Hornby.
Okay, I don't think
not in
that.
The punch bowl.
Very British.
Very British.
And finally, for $1 million, this designer's little black dress is still fashion forward today. Colin.
Who is Chanel?
Who is Coco Chanel.
Coco Chanel.
Yes, Chanel. Chanel is acceptable.
Okay.
Yes.
Just snuck it under the wire there, guys.
Rebecca Chanel.
Very good. Very good. Phil Chanel.
Who is?
Yeah.
Cuckoo Chanel.
That's it. We can totally go on. You want to do another one? Another? Okay, yeah, sure. All right. Well, this round is called Yes, Sir, That's My Scientist.
What?
Yes, Sir, That's My Scientist.
Huh. Okay.
Parents of Scientists?
No, sir. Don't mean
that's really hard. I don't know. The names of parents of scientists seem to get, like, first names of scientists.
I don't know. This is all, the answer is, this is all about scientists.
All right. Okay.
Here we go. Sir Alexander, double jeopardy. So this is $400.
Oh, okay.
Sir Alexander Fleming took a shot in the dark and discovered this in 1928. Karen.
What is penicillin?
It is penicillin. Yeah. Yes. $800. Cyril Hinshelwood explored how oxygen and hydrogen combine to form this.
Cyril Hinshelwood explored how
oxygen and hydrogen combine to form this. Dana.
His water.
It is water. It is water. You got trapped. Yes.
I was looking for like a hint in the question.
Nope. Oxygen plus hydrogen. $1,200. Sir David Brewster invented a system of illumination for these seaside saviors.
Oh.
Karen.
What are lighthouses?
Is it like the reflecting?
Like, I think that is the prismatic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In Africa, Sir David Bruce found that sleeping sickness was spread by this fly. Dina.
Is it a tsetse fly?
It is the tsetse fly.
Very good crossword answer.
Yeah.
TSE.
Yes.
They also lay eggs in your skull.
Yeah.
Well,
in my skull?
No, like underneath your skin. No. And then, like, there are a lot of videos on YouTube. Fly, yeah. Oh, that's the bot fly. That's
you
right.
You can push them out.
Yeah.
Well, don't like hang out with those. Okay. Yeah. $2,000. Sir Godfrey Hounsfield helped. Real name. Sir Godfrey Hounsfield helped develop this medical imaging technology. Mm. Karen.
What is X-ray?
No.
Oh,
incorrect.
Darn.
Colin.
What is CAT scan?
What is the CAT scan? Well, very good.
Last name was Hounsfield.
His last name was
Godfrey Hounsfield.
Hounsfield.
It'd be funny if it was Hounds.
Oh, yeah. Like,
It might be the same thing.
I think it's still a pretty good name, Godfrey Hounsfield.
But there's no D. Sir Godfrey Hounsfield helped develop.
That's like a cat's name.
Yeah.
That should be my next cat's name.
Oh,
if I get a cat.
A cat's can.
Godfrey Hounsfield.
Well, Karen, you were doing really well until you lost $2,000 in that last question.
Yeah, that's how it happens.
Yep.
I choke.
I choke.
All right. Well, today's episode is 192 Road to 200. Slow road, but we're moving.
Just ambling along.
Asymptotic road to 200.
It's an endurance run. And we have 8 more episodes until episode 200. That's pretty crazy.
Wow.
And
we could only do it as a team, Karen.
Oh, speaking of which, since we are all here, all four of us are here recording today, we haven't done an episode on teams and teamwork and cooperation. So this week, teamwork makes the dream work.
I know you. You know me. One thing I can tell you is you got to be free. Come together. Over me.
So I think in the same way that running, like a foot race, just running is the most basic elemental individual sport, you know, just for me, like there's no equipment, it's just basic. I was trying to think, like, what's the most basic elemental team sport? And for me, I settled on tug of war. You know, just, I mean, you know, it's a sport. Okay. It's a legitimate sport. Yeah. It was in the Olympics, you know, for.
What?
It was in the Olympics from 1900 to 1920. Yep. There was Olympic tug of war. It's fantastic. There's some great photos online.
Then they invented the basketball.
Yeah. They're like, this is a lot more interesting.
I don't know how good it was as a spectator event.
Probably pretty great.
Yeah. I mean, beach volleyball, you just kind of go back and forth.
Yeah. But is there a pit of jello that you would fall into?
Not in 1920. It was just lard during wartime. All you need is a rope and any amount of people, and you can get some tug of war going. Right. You know, you can. Then it's up to you to decide how you want to balance the teams out. It's very old. Not surprisingly, the ancient Greeks had it. The ancient Egyptians had it. The ancient Chinese had it, you know.
Really?
I mean, if you had some ancients, they had tug of war.
You could invent this game accidentally.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a good way, actually, to keep soldiers and sailors fit. And, you know, a lot of the real sort of the rich tradition of tug of war comes from armies and aboard ships and stuff. You know, it kind of builds camaraderie. I don't know if it's the kind of thing that they allow in schools today.
Yeah.
But I definitely remember, like, some tug of war as a kid.
Field day.
Yeah. I think the reason you probably don't have it today is just because of injuries. You know, I mean, I remember skinned knees and things like that.
Yeah, but that's nothing compared to Red Rover.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember playing Red Rover?
Yeah. Also, no longer allowed, I think,
they did
in
not
most...
encourage that in my school.
Like,
yeah.
That hurts so much more.
You literally just clothesline each other.
It was just an excuse to hit other, like, not even hit. Like,
that's the best case scenario is clothesline.
Right, right, yeah.
Like, ram into people's wrists as hard as you can.
Man, those were the days.
You'd occasionally have the kid who'd be like, oh, I'm going to go lowball on him. And, like, you know, put the head down. And it's like, oh, man, like, that's just you asking for all kinds of trouble. Yeah, the head first on Red Rover. Well, the injuries, actually, it's a good segue here. What would you guys guess? What would you guys guess is the cause of the most serious accidents and injuries in tug of war, just in general?
Abrasion, yeah, on your hands. Just
falling on each other, like pile-ups.
Falling on each other, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
What if I told you guys that the injuries were a lot more serious than rope burns and abrasions?
Really?
Yeah, what if I told you that tug of war can result in grisly, gruesome amputations even death?
They wrap it around their body part and pull.
The most dangerous part of tug of war the rope snapping.
Because
when you get a rope under strain and stress and stretching with, you know, tens, maybe dozens of people pulling, and it snaps, the amount of energy stored up in that rope can literally sever fingers, cut off arms, kill people.
Wait, I don't get the mechanic. So it's under stress. It's being pulled.
Uh-huh. There's tons of energy in it. And then when it suddenly snaps and the energy
comes out,
the rope,
like a whip,
and the rope whips
like a whip
around.
It just
and
recoils.
Everybody's holding it, and everybody gets a little piece of the recoil, and there's so much that can go through everybody.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, and it's unless you know what you're doing, unless you really know what you're doing and are able to calculate how strong the rope is relative to the number of people you have, you can set yourself up with some really serious injuries. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's kind of ironic. Up to a certain point, a stronger rope actually presents more danger than a weaker rope because it's just going to get more energy in it before it snaps.
I like how it's like this episode, hey, we're talking about teamwork. Guess what, guys?
You should know, like, Good Job Brain is going to lead you one of a few ways. Yeah. Poop, animals, or, you know, dismemberment.
Grizzly death.
I saw a photo. I saw a photo on Snopes of what this sort of the debunking and fact verifying website, a photo of, like, hey, is this real? And it is a very grisly photo of a guy on the ground and a severed arm laying next to him. And, you know, is this true? Did this guy really lose his arm playing tug of war? And it is, in fact, true. It is real. I'm not encouraging you to go seek it out, but you can go find it if you want to. Karen, this event actually happened in Taiwan in 1997. There were 1,600 people in like a mass tug of war. And, you know, mass tug of wars are actually fairly common, particularly in Asia, it seems. Like. I don't know, Chris, if you ever witnessed any, but I guess they're big in Japan as well. They had just, again, too much strain on the rope and it snapped. And originally, you know, they thought it was reported as like, oh, it was wrapped around someone's arm and just popped it off. No. But no, it turned out it actually was the force of it recoiling severed this guy's arm. Ooh. It was horrible, horrible. There was another incident again in 1995. Two Boy Scouts died. They were doing a giant tug of war. Uh-oh. It seems to be the common thread, no pun intended, really, the common thread in these tug of war tragedies is
large scale,
huge numbers of people. They said it was a nylon rope about the thickness of your thumb, and when it snapped and whipped back, it hit a Boy Scout. It just struck him just so hard.
Stopped his heart.
Just killed him. It just killed him. That's so my advice, frankly, is stay away from, poorly organized mass tug of war demonstrations.
Yeah, because even if you're a spectator, who knows where the rope's going to go?
That's the thing. That's right. In organized tug of war, there are organized tug of war pro-am leagues, I guess, or whatever. Right, associations. Yeah, they have very strict rules about things like you can't wrap it around your arm and things like that. I mean, for obvious safety reasons. So I did promise I would show Chris the photo.
No.
I'm going to show it to Chris. You know, it looks like the scene in the first Star Wars movie in the cantina he slices the guy's arm off with the lightsaber.
Yeah. And it does look fake too, you know what I mean?
Like, I can see why somebody would write to Snopes asking to say, is this real?
Right, sure. Picture
I'm
real.
Never going to play tug of war in my whole life ever again.
No. Wow, oh, man. Okay.
Yeah, it was a wake up call for me. So, maybe that's why it got phased out in favor of more elaborate team sports in the Olympics.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, Matt, did you know that wombats poop cubes?
Nope, never heard that before.
Did you know the unicorn is the national animal of Scotland, Ken?
I didn't know, nor do I care.
Neil, did you know that Liechtenstein is the only doubly landlocked country in Europe?
Jeff, isn't that an American pop artist?
Well, actually, it's both. If you want to learn things like that and more, join us each week on Triviality, a pub trivia-style game show podcast where a lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge.
Listen in each week to answer general knowledge trivia alongside exciting guests from around the world.
And we're here too.
Join us every Tuesday for new hour-long episodes of Triviality, plus tons of extra themed content on everything from The Office and Lord of the Rings to science and geography.
And sometimes we even do sports.
Find us on all your preferred podcast apps and take part in the fun of playing bar trivia without the need to wear pants.
Real mature, Jeff.
Forget it, Neil. It's Triviality.
Well, in happier news, in the happier, more uplifting world of team trivia and facts, I have a quiz. I'm an okay sports person. I'm not a sports nut. Colin, obviously, you are our sports MVP.
You're good at sports, though.
I can recall some stuff.
Yeah.
And that is because I watch a lot of movies and play a lot of video games. But movies... mostly, I love me a good inspirational sport movie. And the best thing about those sport movies are the inspirational locker room speech.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So here I have a quiz.
Oh, nice.
I have clips that I kind of edited for length. I'm going to play the clip. of an inspirational locker room speech
from a
major sport movie, and you guys write down and tell me what movie it is. Helps when to identify the actor. That will definitely help you.
Okay.
There will be some clues in maybe their speech that will kind of clue in the story or the circumstances and whatnot. So even if you didn't, I know Dana's looking at me like,
I can only think of one locker room speech I know.
They're all from Air Bud, aren't they?
It'd just be woof, 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 woof. So here we go. I'm going to play the clip and you guys write down your answers. All listeners, right. Feel free
we're
to
giving you
yell
the movie.
Out. Yes.
Okay.
Give me the movie.
All right.
Movie. Here we go. Number one.
Lord, hallowed be thy name. May our feet be swift. May our bats be mighty. May our balls be plentiful. Lord, I'd just like to thank you for that waitress in South Bend.
Ew.
All right. What sport movie is this? Chris, you say.
A League of Their Own.
I also said A League of Their Own.
I couldn't remember if it was A League of Our or Their Own.
A League of Their Own.
Yes.
Everybody is right.
Wonderful.
Of course, that is Jimmy Dugan, played by Tom Hanks.
Fantastic. America's dad.
I like how
America's dad.
I like how he slipped in like a weird thing at the end of his speech to this women baseball team. Because
I'd
forgotten about that, frankly.
He's kind of a jerk guy. He's kind of a sleazeball.
It's like I saw it when I was a kid and it went over my head.
All right, next inspirational speech. Here we go.
And we came here today to remember. Six young men. And 69 others. Who will not be on the field with you today. But they will be watching. You can bet your ass that they'll be gritting their teeth with every snap of that football. You understand me? How you play today, from this moment on, is how you will be remembered. This is your opportunity to rise from these ashes and grab glory.
Oh,
selling it.
Actor is easy to easy to identify. But what movie is it, Chris? No. You say
it's not this.
Rudy.
I'm just like Rudy. I don't know, football.
I think my guess is We Are Marshall.
Dana, your guess?
It said a Matthew McConaughey vehicle about ghosts who are football players.
That is not that far off. It is We Are Marshall. Colin is correct.
I've never heard of that.
The premise of We Are Marshall, it's a true story. Based on a true story, it's actually very sad. So Marshall University, their whole football team was on a plane and there was a plane accident and all of them died. And so now they have a town and a whole university mourning. And now you have all these other players who are not on the team now becoming the Marshall team. And hence there are some clues about, you know, that they're remembering and rising up from the ashes. It's a very good movie, very inspirational.
Okay.
All right, next one.
Get down. Is losing fun? Is losing fun?
No.
What are you having fun for?
Who was that? That sounded like so familiar.
It's short. Again?
Get down. Is losing fun? Is losing fun?
No.
What are you having fun for?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, I got it.
So I guess it's not that happy. It's not uplifting. It's inspirational in a way, but not figured it out.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, your answer is the Mighty Ducks. Quack, 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 quack. Colin, you said
Moneyball.
That handwriting.
Well, I wrote it really fast.
Oh, okay.
Dana.
Moneyball.
It is Moneyball. That was Brad Pitt.
It took me a moment to place his voice.
It's Brad Pitt, and at the end, I'm like, oh, this sounds like baseball bats. So I'm like, oh, Brad Pitt, baseball, Moneyball. Oh.
All right. Next one. Little clue. This is a little hard to identify the actor because his accent is really, really good.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Listen to his speech, and maybe you can figure out in context.
Okay.
Great moments are born from great opportunity. And that's what you have here tonight, boys. That's what you've earned here tonight. One game. If we played them 10 times, they might win 9. But not this game. Not tonight. Tonight, we skate with them. Tonight, we stay with them. And we shut them down because we can. Tonight, we are the greatest hockey team in the world.
I don't think that what I'm writing is correct, but
I know the movie, but I'm not sure I have the title, if that makes sense.
Okay. Answers up. Chris, you say the Mighty Ducks.
You should have just written the Mighty Ducks. Yeah, good, great.
Mighty Ducks. Colin.
Well, this is about the Miracle on Ice game. Was it just called Miracle? That's what I wrote.
That's your guess. Dana?
So that did not sound like Emilio Estevez at all, but I put Mighty Ducks.
But what else are you going to write?
I was like, that's the only hockey movie.
It is Miracle. Colin is right. That was Kurt Russell.
Doing his best Canadian accent.
Minnesota. Very heavy accent there.
Of course.
It's kind of chill.
Awesome movie. It's about the U.S. hockey game at Lake Placid at Winter Olympics.
Yes.
Winning against
beating the Soviets. Union.
Yeah, it's a very, very iconic sports movie. Next one.
To me, being perfect is not about that scoreboard out there. It's not about winning. It's about you and your relationship to yourself and your family and your friends. Being perfect is about being able to look your friends in the eye and know that you didn't let them down because you told them the truth. And that truth is that you did everything that you could. There wasn't one more thing that you could have done. Can you live in that moment as best you can with clear eyes and love in your heart? With joy in your heart. If you can do that, gentlemen, then you're perfect.
Oh.
I think I know the actor.
Oh, man, what a speech. What
that
a
was
speech.
Tricky.
Yeah, that one's tricky. I'm not sure I know that one. I'm taking a guess here.
Hint?
Sure.
Big football movie. Oh, that doesn't narrow it down.
Big football.
Not professional football.
All
right, I think
was that Billy Bob Thornton?
I'm not going
to say. That's what it sounded like to me.
All right, Chris says, remember the Titans.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a good one. I think it was, I put perfect, just because he kept emphasizing the word perfect in his speech.
Dana.
So, the TV show Friday Night Lights has a similar locker room speech that they do.
Mm.
And so I was like, I know that there was a movie, I didn't watch it. Mm. I don't know if Billy Bob, so I put Friday Night Lights.
It is Friday Night Lights!
Oh.
Very, very good speech. That was Billy Bob Thornton. All right, last one. This is a little bit a weird inspirational speech because it's weird now. You'll see what I mean. Last one. Here we go.
Quit. You know, once I was thinking about quitting when I was diagnosed with brain, lung, and testicular cancer all at the same time. But with the love and support of my friends and family, I got back on the bike, and I won the Tour de France 5 times in a row. But I'm sure you have a good reason to quit. It's if a person never quit when the going got tough, they wouldn't have anything to regret for the rest of their life. But good luck to you, Peter. I'm sure this decision won't haunt you forever.
Oh, man. What is this? it's right because it's Lance Armstrong and it. What movie?
Talking to somebody.
Yeah, Peter. What movie is this?
Spider-Man.
Peter Parker. Yeah.
It is a sport movie. The sport is not a very dominant sport. As you guys write down your answers, I just want to share this one fact. I was looking over at all the big sport movies. Kevin Costner's in so many of them. Yeah. He's in Field
Durham,
of Dreams, Bill Durham,
Tin Cup,
Draft Day.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh my God, it's just all sport movies. All right, answers up. Chris, you said Dodgeball.
I also said Dodgeball.
Dana half wrote something down.
That's a good answer. Said that one about the track team.
Oh, I don't know. McFarlane USA?
Something like that.
No, it is not. It is Dodgeball.
Yes.
Underdog story starring. Well, I that wasn't starring. That was definitely Lance Armstrong.
Featuring.
Yeah, featuring. And Peter was Vince Vaughn.
That was Vince Vaughn's character.
Yep,
okay.
Yep. Good job, you guys. And that's my.
We did okay.
I like that one. That's good. That's
sport
good.
Movie
yeah.
Great. Quiz. Good Here, job. Well,
Karen, why don't you take this paper, this Sharpie, because I have a word game for everybody.
Oh. Okay.
There are many sports teams in existence.
Webster defines sports team
as a group of people united in one single purpose. Okay. So, between the NBA and the NHL, the other various sports leagues,
MLB.
like the MLB, and of course the one that I would never forget, the
NFL.
Thank you. There are many professional, top of the line sports teams, as it were, with 4-letter names.
Ooh.
Okay. I have taken two each of those teams with 4-letter names, not the city, but the mm-hmm. 4-letter team name, and I've anagrammed them into an 8-letter word or phrase.
Okay.
So I will give you the crazy phrase which are also all excellent potential team names.
Oh, I see. So it's one giant word or phrase.
One giant word or phrase.
Are they the same kind of sport?
No.
Oh, so it's mixed
match. They are NFL, NHL, NBA, and MLB teams.
Okay.
Just those four of only 4 letters each. There's only a little bit for you to work with.
They repeat? Do you use
They do not repeat.
Okay. Oh, okay.
They do not repeat. So for example, if I were to tell you that I was thinking of naming my team the Raz Jams,
the Jazz,
yes,
the
Rams. And the Rams,
the Jazz, and the Rams.
They won't all be so easy.
The Raz Jams.
You can use your.
I'm surprised that one didn't make it into the quiz
to work out the anagrams. If you're at home,
Jazz is going to be one of them.
Jazz. Yeah. It turns out, guess what? Jazz anagrams can do a fat lot of nothing.
Yeah. Those yeah, two Z's?
Like, you can't. Like,
you know, a lot of flexibility.
I wonder what he's going to do with that. But I'm ready when it comes.
I use it as the example.
A lot of points in Scrabble, not a lot of room to anagram.
You can't even play it in Scrabble because you need a blank letter.
Yeah, it's not even worth it. So anyway, you've all got pens and papers. You can work out the anagram. So I'm just going to give you the word or phrase, and you're going to figure out what 2 4-letter team names I've anagrammed into it.
If you
could buzz in as soon as you figured it out. Yeah. And of course, if you're at home, you will find it a lot easier to do anagrams if you have a pen and paper with you. But you can try to do it all in your head. Some people can do that really easily.
Okay.
Not me. Here we go. Your first phrase, your first sports team that I'm going to, come up with is best scum. Best scum.
Wow.
Karen.
Cubs and Mets.
It is Cubs and Mets. Chicago yes. Cubs, Deer Bay. All right. Karen is on top of this. All right. Here we go. Your next one.
Best scum.
Best scum. They're the best scum. Here's our good team name. Justness. 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 Dana is first.
Nets and the... Just.
Karen.
That would be the Suns and the Jets.
The Suns and the Jets. Phoenix Suns, the New York Jets. Absolutely. A team I named after myself, White Lad. White lad. White lad. Going for two.
Man, it's hard when it's not like plural. Three-letter plural.
That's right. That's right. Colin.
That is the Heat and the Wild.
The Heat and the Wild. Very good. Miami Heat, Minnesota Wild.
Okay.
And finally, a phrase that describes groups of pub trivia hosts. Nerd sets.
Oh.
Nerd sets. Dana.
Reds and Nets.
The Reds, yeah. The Cincinnati Reds, the New Jersey Nets. Yes.
Nerd sets.
All right. You guys are doing pretty good. Let's step it up. How about 10-letter phrases? These are each made up of anagrams of two 5-letter team names mixed together. All right, here we go. Actually, get a doctor to look at these. Skin bulges. Skin bulges. Colin.
Is that Eagles and... No, not Knicks. It doesn't work.
No.
Yeah, that was Knicks, too.
Oh, sorry. I realized after I... Yeah, sorry.
Knicks is a 6-letter
yes, it
word.
Is. That's as I counted in my head.
Skin bulges. Looking for two 5-letter team names.
The Lynx and the Buges.
The what? Yeah, the...
Lynx and the Buges.
The Lynx and the Buges. I'm going to give you guys the more obscure team name that's in here, if you want.
The city. What about the cities?
Oh, the cities. Oh, that's a very good idea. The cities are St. Louis and Los Angeles. Karen?
The Kings?
Yes.
And the Loops?
Colin, you want to help her out there?
That is the Kings and the Blues.
The Blues.
St. Louis Blues.
Yeah, like
that was a little harder. Maybe I should have put that towards the back. Anyway, moving right along for your confidence. the Lubes.
That's their minor league affiliate is the Lubes.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. If I was a musician, maybe I could lay down some sick bass trills. That's B-A-S-S-T-R-I-L-L-S.
Man,
bass
a lot of
trills. That's right. That's right. There are. Whoa. Karen?
That is the Bills.
Yes.
Buffalo Bills and the Stars.
Yes, man.
I don't know what Stars are.
Dallas.
Oh, Dallas.
Stars.
Okay.
The Bills and the Stars. Ooh. All right. Just two more for you guys. The less said about this team name, the better. The Boner Sales. The Boner Sales.
How do you spell sales?
S-A-I-L-S.
Oh, so it's a sailing team.
Yes, indeed. It is a sailing team. Makes a lot of comedic errors. Whoa, Karen.
It is the Lions and the Bears.
It is the Lions and the Bears. Nice job.
Wait, but sales. I didn't even listen. I was already got it.
Well, folks, I only have one more for you, but it is possibly this is the team. This is the team that's going to take it all this year.
It has heart.
And it has a lot of heart. The Clock Studs. C-L-O-C-K-S-T-U-D-S. The Clock Studs. The manliest watchmakers around. Their mascot is just a timepiece that is ripped.
Weird.
Clock Studs. Karen, with those anagrams.
The Ducks.
It is the Ducks.
the Ducks.
I got that one, but what's the next word?
And then the...
The Clots?
The Clots. Yep.
The Clots.
It's the Clots. Hey, what? Colin?
Colts.
The Colts.
The Colts.
The Colts.
The Colts.
The Clots and the Lubes.
Good job, Brandon. Yeah. That's some good. Yeah, the Clots.
Kings and the Lubes. The
Clots and the Lubes.
Good job all around.
We need jerseys. We need sport jerseys. Clots and Lubes.
Clots.
Wow, I was really good at that. I'm usually really crappy at anagrams.
You've been practicing, I think.
You're good at teams because you do other fantasy sports too. Right?
Yeah,
right.
It's because it's been gamified for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Double
like,
gamified.
I know that. Yeah, they're just faces. Like
faceless Lubes players.
Yeah.
Are you looking for a podcast that your whole family can enjoy that asks the deep philosophical questions like, do trees fart?
If you are, then you'll love Tumble, a science podcast for kids. I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Marshall. Join us as we explore stories of science discovery from butts to animals, dinosaurs, astronomy, and everything in between.
You'll love these stories, and you'll learn something new.
Find and follow Tumble Science Podcast for Kids wherever you get your podcasts or at sciencepodcastforkids.com.
And Dana, you have one last segment for us. It's a quiz.
Keep your pad and pad and pen.
Don't
ready.
Put that pen away.
So much writing.
There is a lot of writing. So the other day at Trivia, we got a question about a team.
Yes.
And it was, what mode of transportation has a rear admiral, a stoker, and a navigator? Right. We put down a steamboat.
Stoking.
Yeah.
Because we're like, oh, and like the admiral sounds nautical and naval. And it was tandem bicycles.
Tandem.
I thought tandem bikes were two people.
We misunderstood. Like he was saying, it was you could call it this or this, I think, right?
They're all the same spot.
Yeah.
It's just different names for the same spot.
So it's the second spot?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the back person.
Yeah. I looked it up after we got home that night.
But I'm guessing that our misinterpretation of this question
those are all separate
has led you to crafting something similar.
Yes. So I will give you positions on a team, and you tell me what team sport it is.
Oh,
that's what we thought the question was.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Right.
And you know what? Colin's going to win.
I think Dana's found some good obscure ones.
Yeah, they're obscure. They're obscure. We'll start with an easy one.
Okay.
The roles are chaser, beater, and seeker.
Chaser, beater, seeker.
Beater.
Mm-hmm.
Like egg beater?
Like egg beater.
Seeker.
And then seeker, like seeking. Seeker.
Can we draw pictures?
Sure. Yes, you get bonus points for pictures. I'm not keeping score, but you get extra points if you do it. You ready?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Chris. You say?
Quidditch.
Quidditch. Colin says?
I put hide and seek extreme.
Whoa!
You know, like...
What does the beater do in hide and seek extreme?
Like the last person, the first person. I guess the first person to get found would get beaten. Right, yeah.
That's all.
Wait, how do you play hide and seek?
Yeah, that's how I taught it to play.
And Karen has Quidditch. And she drew a beautiful Harry Potter on a broom. And
golden so snitch. Nice.
What appears to be a tennis ball with donkey ears.
Yes.
That's exactly what a snitch is. It's really a golden tennis ball.
Oh, you ping pong ball. Watched the movie?
Yeah.
Donkey ears.
How about this? What kind of sports team has jammers, a blocker, and a pivot?
Oh my God, it sounds so familiar.
Jammer, blocker, pivot. I can give you guys a hint if you want.
Is it real or not?
No, it's real. It's real. I guess that's your hint, no?
Yeah. To distinguish it from the first one.
Mm-hmm. Hold on. All right. So Chris says basketball. Mm-hmm. Colin says roller derby. And Chris says rugby. It is roller derby.
Wow.
Yes, that's what it is. Now, I was like, I watched this in a movie and I forgot what it was.
What about a dummy half, a goal kicker, and a first receiver?
Dummy half, first receiver.
This is a sport, but it's not really commonly played in this country. That's a hint.
Dummy, first receiver, and a kicker?
Yep. It's a dummy half, a goal kicker, and a first receiver.
Okay.
When in doubt,
okay.
This is a sport.
Oh, yeah, I think Karen. Yeah,
we all put
Australian rules football.
Yeah.
Is it Aussie rules football?
It's rugby. But you guys are close. It's a similar shaped ball.
Thank you.
When in doubt.
Yeah, it's true. When in doubt, Aussie rules football.
Yeah. What about this team? They have a flyer, a base, and a back spot.
Flyer, a base, B-A-S-E.
Yeah.
A flyer, a base, and a back spot.
I can give you another hint if you want.
No.
Okay.
I'm not sure, but this is my best guess.
Okay. Yeah, it's not going to get any better than this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
All right, let's see.
All right.
I put cricket, and I drew a cricket paddle.
Oh.
It is a nice cricket paddle.
I put volleyball.
Yeah, I put, what did I put? I already forgot. I put Hi-Li.
Ooh.
It is cheerleading.
Oh.
Because they fly, and there's a person who catches.
And a backspot. So I thought backspot was kind of like a like a cricket umpire.
Right, a catcher. Kind of, catcher.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
My hint was going to be there's no ball involved. So might have.
What about a bow, a coxswain or coxswain, and a meat wagon?
I just like the word meat wagon, or the phrase meat wagon.
Mm-hmm.
A bow, a coxswain or a coxswain, and a meat wagon.
All right.
I put rowing.
I put crew, commonly known as rowing.
You all are right. Yes.
At first, I was like, "Oh no, Colin put something else."
So one is at the front, one is at the back, and the meat wagon are the like people in the middle.
Oh, yeah, they're all meat wagon.
Not all of them, but like three of them.
They pretty much just row the boat.
They're just the muscle.
That's why I figured it was like front, back, and that word is spelled like coxswain.
Coxswain.
Yeah. But you pronounce it coxswain.
Coxswain.
Oh, interesting.
I listened to a YouTube pronunciation of it before I came on the show, and she did it both ways. She said coxswain or coxswain.
I think sometimes they just say cox. I don't know.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, okay.
All right, let's do two more. How about in this sport, the grinder, the rover, and the goaltender?
Grinder, goaltender,
and rover.
Rover.
Goaltender.
This sport also doesn't have a ball.
Oh, goaltender with no... Grinder, rover, goaltender.
Has no ball. Has no... Well, how many sports are there with no balls? Not a lot. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Team sports.
Grinder, no ball really threw me for a loop there. Yeah.
Goaltending.
Yeah, I mean, unless those are just...
Oh, this sport only, I feel like, has two people, though.
Mm. This is a common sport, too.
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh.
All right.
I put curling. But I feel like that's only two people per team, I think.
No, I think there's more than two per team.
Okay. Chris, you said?
Hockey.
I also put hockey, but I wish I had put curling.
It's hockey.
Oh, is it?
Oh,
okay. Good old hockey.
You don't consider a puck a ball, right?
No.
In fact, that was why I put hockey. It was all I could think of. Oh, but I like the way you're thinking on that one, though, Karen.
Curling was a good guess, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then this is the last one. So these team members are not on the field, so to speak, but these are the positions. They are Lollipop Man, Jack Man, and Fire Extinguisher Man.
Lollipop Man.
Jack Man.
And Fire Extinguisher Man.
When I saw Lollipop Man, I was like, yeah, this is going in 100%.
Not on the field.
My mind is just not prepared for this quiz. not on the field. Okay.
Is there a ball involved?
No.
No.
No ball. Okay. Involved.
Is it a real sport?
Oh.
Yeah, people would be real mad if you said it wasn't a sport.
That clinches my confidence in my answer that you said that.
Answer's up.
All right.
I put Ultimate Frisbee.
I put Auto Racing.
Auto Racing, I put NASCAR. Car.
Oh!
Yes, it's the pit crew. The F1 pit crew for NASCAR. So the Lollipop Man holds a sign to be like, this is where we are. Yeah. The Jack Man jacks the car up. Mm-hmm. And Fire Extinguisher Man... Stands there with a fire extinguisher. In case the car is on fire. Yeah. And then they extinguish it.
It is true. Yeah. Auto racing is technically a team sport. Yeah. Because you have the whole crew.
As Dana said, a lot of people get mad if you say it's not a sport.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. 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 That's why I put Ultimate Frisbee. I was like, those people get real
get
mad.
Real mad.
When you say it's not a sport. And I played Ultimate Frisbee. All right. Woo.
All right.
Hey.
Lollipop Man.
The Lollipop Man. I know. It's, yeah.
And then the Lollipop Man comes in and sticks a little lollipop.
Yeah.
Dum-dums.
Good luck.
Gives it to the driver.
I like how it starts off with very kind of, you know, poetic and metaphorical, and then it ends up with Fire Extinguisher Man.
Yeah, there's no euphemism for that. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Flame go out, man. Yeah.
And that's our episode on teamwork.
Woo! Team power.
Good job, everybody.
Thank you guys for joining me, and thank you guys, listeners, for listening in. Hope you learned a lot of stuff from Bulldog Puppy Handsome Dan to Coxswain. Coxman.
Coxswain.
Coxswain. And found some inspiration in those moving locker room sport movie speeches. You can find our show on iTunes, on Stitcher, on SoundCloud, on Spotify, and on our website, goodjobbrain.com. And our book is out!
Can I find the book on the internet, Karen?
Yeah, you can just search for Good Job Brain book in any online retailer, and hopefully you can... It has a big, bright orange cover.
It does. And it's an ebook. It's in ebook form also. You get it for your Kindle.
That's
or
true,
your
right?
Your choice. So yeah, do that.
And then there are plenty of people who bought two copies of the book because they're the types like Colin who does not like to write in their books.
We encourage this.
Yeah, so they have one copy that is pristine and one to write down. I'm a writer on books. Write in this book.
You should buy one to keep mint, one to write in, and one just in case.
You definitely want one to write in, though.
Yeah, it's more. Yeah. It's fun to write in because there's like connect the dots. But if you're not that type of person, you can make maybe Xerox copy. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah, check it out. Hope you guys like it. And we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.